time for the Bay Area's favorite radio quiz show, Minds Over Matter, with your host, Dana Rodriguez. Tonight, he's joined by technical editor Kira Pace and professor Lori Fisher. Gotta be your host, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, David, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. Hope you are having a lovely weekend, and we also hope you can spare us an hour of your very valuable time tonight, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we're hoping for whatever small piece of participation you feel you can throw our way. We'll be giving you questions on many, many different subjects, current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else. Kira's writing out just about everything else right now. And so all you have to do is give us a call. We have two different phone numbers here, and they are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that is area code 415-841-4134. Or toll-free. Yes, we do have a toll-free number. 866-798-8255. Again, that is 866-798-8255. You know, don't let Ede be the only caller, because I'm feeling that's him on the line right now. So,
Hatshepsut.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for remembering that. I wish I committed it to memory, but thank goodness you're here to do it. Again, 415-841-4134, or toll-free, 866-798-8255. And the sooner you call in, the sooner we will get you on the air. I guarantee it. Sometimes we do get a little bit crowded toward the end of the show, but if that happens, you have nobody to blame but yourself. So give us a call as soon as you can. Just to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. Again, that is mindsovermatter1. That is the numeral 1. So that is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. Always great to hear from our listeners, even if it's a criticism, which it generally is. But it's nice to hear from you anyway.
But in a good way. Good criticism.
Healthy. Well, that's your interpretation.
Yes, it is.
And the occasional compliment would be nice. No, we get plenty of compliments. That's fine. Also, if you'd like to hear us in live stream, you can just go to kalw.org. Again, that is kalw.org, and should be available as we speak. And, of course, the podcast should be up and available in many different places, but please start with kalw.org, okay? And that should be available within a reasonable period of time after our show tonight. Okay, all that being said, I should say a little bit of old business. Last week I asked you about words invented by authors, mm-hmm. and one of our – I'm sorry, their name went right out of my head, but the this person sent me an email. This is what I'm talking about.
this is the complimentary one.
No, this is not the complimentary one. Saying that I didn't know what I was talking about, and Scaredy Cat predates Dorothy Parker.
She may have been
the first person to use it in a prominent sense, but
and did this person?
I'm trying to salvage as much as I can.
And wait till you see what words I've brought in for you today. Then
all right,
I look forward to the criticism that Dana gets later.
Well, it's your question; it'll be your criticism, and don't think I won't pass along.
And
that
so, who
I don't doubt that.
Who did invent the phrase "scaredy cat"?
If it wasn't, no, there wasn't any.
Just that you're wrong.
No, I didn't say it was wrong exactly. Well, actually, they did, but it predates Dorothy Parker.
All right.
Was their point?
All right.
So, anyway, sorry about that. My source was obviously wrong. Maybe my source was right.
Was your source Wikipedia?
No, actually, it was a. I'm trying to think of where it was. It was something
you
like.
You have good sources. OED-ish.
The OED is regularly wrong, and by regularly, I of course mean frequently, because regularly is misused in the sentence by me. The OED. I actually called.
You know, this is not a help at all.
Okay. Don't mind me. Don't mind me.
Thank you. Okay. All that being said, we will start with round introductions. And here's the first. Keir Pace could figure out no good way to work into a question that the fact that wait a minute.
Yeah, you're good.
Okay.
Keep going.
Keir Pace could figure out no good way to work into a question that the fact that the Home Alone house is listed on Zillow.
Yes. So the Home Alone house,
in a Chicago suburb, right?
Yes. And I don't remember. It starts with a W and I don't remember.
It's Wilmette, right near my hometown. No?
Winnetka?
It's Winnetka. So if you type in the Home Alone address to Zillow.com, it comes up with this fake real estate listing for the Home Alone house, complete with like how it's got great places for aftershave and good places to stick unruly kids in your attic. Right. So there's like all sorts of Easter eggs all over Zillow, and I just recently ran into that one. So fun.
And Bob Crosby and his band had a very big hit with Big Noise from Winnetka. I don't know.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay.
And you've just turned it from Gen X to whatever generation you are.
Well, I'm not Gen X.
No.
Not millennial.
Yes.
He's greatest generation.
Watch your tone.
No, I'm not greatest generation either. I'm somewhere in that mushy middle. And
so despite all evidence to the contrary, Lori Fisher has detected that the world just might be getting a little bit better. He spent some of this afternoon in the very familiar position of listening to John Miller and Dwayne Kuiper broadcast the Giants spring training game. Nothing is much better than that, except, of course, Minds Over Matter.
True that is. It was delightful to turn on the game and hear baseball. And when at a loss for words, always remember to just say, quote, and now our moderator, Data Rodriguez.
That's right. Let that be a rule from now on. Okay. All that being said, we will start with Keir Pace.
All right. So about a month ago, I tried a question and it seemed to crash and burn. It got no play. So I am doubling down. I'm going to do the exact same type of question. And it is this. The 14th edition of the Encyclopedia Britannica included several notable contributors. I'll give you the title of the encyclopedia entry in the Encyclopedia Britannica. You tell me the name of its notable contributor. 14th edition came out in the 1920s and was in use until the early 21st century. So
I remember this question.
Yeah, last time you had like 13. Cecil B. DeMille was one.
Oh
yeah.
Director.
How many do you have now?
Right. We have six.
All right,
six okay?
Yes,
oh,
is
fantastic.
Great.
The key to remember is this came out in the 1920s.
Yeah. It started in the 1920s, but actually so articles were written for it throughout the 20th century. So it just started in the 1920s.
No, but what you're referring to came out in the 1920s.
Right. And actually, some of these articles were written a little bit later than that. So I'll even give you the year that the article was written. So there are six.
Yes.
And they are penicillin, Illinois, Wilbur Wright, infantile paralysis, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, and dance, modern dancing. Again, they were penicillin, which was written in 1952, Illinois, written in 1967, Wilbur Wright, written in 1929, infantile paralysis, written in 1957, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, written in 1956, and finally dance, modern dancing, written in 1936.
I'm sorry to ask you, but just go over the years once more.
Sure. Penicillin is 52. Illinois, actually, it's not 67. I misspoke. I didn't write down the year for that. Right. Wilbur Wright is 29. Infantile paralysis is 1957. The FBI is 1956. And dance, modern dancing was written in 1936. So I will give you each one.
And the 1920s doesn't have anything to do with this. That's when you said
the 14th edition was published, but then they were constantly adding. Yeah, like obviously penicillin's not going to be there in 1926.
Well, for polio, for infantile paralysis, I'll guess Jonas Salk.
That is a good guess and is also correct. Bell, Jonas Salk wrote the entry on infantile paralysis.
All right. Maybe it's too obvious an answer, but is the FBI J. Edgar Hoover?
Go with the obvious. The FBI is indeed J. Edgar Hoover.
And is dance, there are a lot of different people this could be. Is it either, seems maybe slightly too early for Martha Graham, maybe Ruth St. Denis?
It is not. So the ones we have left are...
Ted Sean?
Nope.
All right.
So the ones we have left are Penicillin, Illinois, Wilbur Wright, and Dance, Modern Dancing.
1936.
Is Wilbur Wright the... I can't remember which one died first. It wouldn't have been written by Orville.
Wilbur Wright's article was written by Orville Wright in 1929. Right. And then that is it. We'll leave the other three for the audience. And those are Penicillin, Illinois, and Dance, Modern Dancing.
And we don't have the year for Illinois. 67's out of the... It might be, but it might
67.
Be.
It's not 67. It was written earlier than that.
Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Colette from San Leandro.
Hi, Colette.
And as regarding the movie, A Place in the Sun,
it's
based on a novel. What's the name of the novel and the author?
It's Theodore Dreiser's An American Tragedy.
Right.
Yes. Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Oh. Bye.
Oh, that was it.
There's actually two volumes. They publish it in two volumes. But now they publish it in one.
Yeah. That's how I read it in one. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And let's see. Laura, you go ahead.
Okay. Mine is a holdover question from last week. I asked this. The New York Public Library, for its 125th anniversary, compiled a list of the works that had been most checked out. And Dana got the only work of nonfiction was How to Win Friends and Influence People. You got that. Most of the others are children's books, but there are four works of fiction in their list of the most checked out works in the 125-year history. And so I'm reviving that question as my intro question.
Is this adult fiction?
Yes. Yes. I'm going to say all these books, well, one, a lot of kids read, but adults read it too, and the rest are definitely adult fiction.
Is one of them Catcher in the Rye?
No. Okay. But that's the right kind of thinking.
Like Alice in Wonderland?
Also a good guess, but not one of the top 10, not one of the top 15.
So none of these is young adult. They're all adult books.
There's one young adult-ish, I would say.
So we're not talking Judy Blume young
we're
adult.
We're not. Okay. Yeah.
All right, go over that once more.
So the New York Public Library put out a list of its most checked out works in its 125-year history. And as I said, many were children's books, and there was only one work of nonfiction, How to Win Friends and Influence People. We're looking for four works of fiction that have been checked out the most.
Would you say these things are read for pleasure or because you have to?
That's a great question. I would say... a combination of both. One of them is just pleasure, a bestseller or pleasurable book. The other three are books everybody should have read, and probably we all did.
I'm going to jump on that question and ask you if any of them, so I guess just this one, would it be trashy?
God's Little Acre?
Like Valley of the Dolls kind of trash?
None of them are, they're all reputable.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're not Peyton Place, Valley of the Dolls, or Valley of anything else.
Are there classic American novels on them there?
Yes.
Scarlet Letter.
No.
Like Tom Sawyer or Adventures of Huckleberry Finn?
All good guesses, but not in the top 20s. Yeah.
All right.
And my last guess is Moby Dick.
No. Okay. I will say this. They are all, let me check here, they are all 20th century works.
Are they all American?
One might, no.
Okay.
By... extremely famous American authors?
Yeah. Two are by extremely famous American authors and two are by extremely famous British authors. All written in
the 20th century. Are they all written in the second?
One is written in the 21st century.
1984.
That's one of them. Yeah. Very nice.
All right.
As soon as you said British author.
Yeah. Give yourself a bell for that.
Right. Then Animal Farm?
No. No repeat authors.
Mm. I got that.
Whatever. Brave New World.
Also, no. But not your...
A much less interesting book.
Keep knocking on the Brave New World
door. Agreed. 1984 is
much more interesting.
If you knock on the Brave New World door, you'll find this one.
Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Joseph from Virginia.
Hi, Joseph.
I need to make an apology. I called a week or so ago, and I was trying to be self-deprecating, but a friend who listens from Oakland who turned me on to the show said, well, you sounded arrogant. I don't know if you recall it, but I said...
There's so much arrogance in our callers. I barely even notice it anymore.
What was the subject of your question?
Yeah. Well, I said, this is your worst nightmare. I meant it, and if you didn't hear me when I did the Gone with the Wind tribute, you would not know what I was talking about. I assumed everybody knew. But my friend said, you sounded very arrogant. I said, well, I meant it to be self-deprecating. Because of my, like, four questions, you got two of them. I beat you up, but I had read a book the week before called The Making of Gone with the Wind.
I have to honestly say there's a tremendous gulf between sounding arrogant and sounding self-deprecating.
Well,
so I'm not sure.
I had called in and done this whole thing, and you guys are so with it and so up. And so I was trying to be funny, but some people didn't take
that way. We forgive you.
I thought you were great. That's and I remember.
Wait. So, Dana, how many pieces of criticism did you get from this guy's jokes?
None.
Okay.
None.
Well, y'all got stuff that I had only learned, like, in the last year through reading this book, The Making of Gone with the Wind.
Oh,
of course, if you didn't read it, you wouldn't know it.
You're right.
But I've become now obsessed.
Uh-oh.
Not quite, but with collective nouns. Have you ever done a show on collective nouns?
We've done some questions.
Yeah.
They've come up.
Okay. Well, I have a few. I unfortunately left my list at a friend's house, and I can't remember most of them.
Oh, that's good.
Well, the only one that you can't ask because it's
ones.
Well, you can't ask Eads, the monkey's one being Congress, like that is like trademark Eid
and
now.
Please don't say a murder of crows because that's the one that comes.
Well,
up
that was one of them, but I knew everybody knew that one. But how about
see you were not self-deprecating there.
Owls. That's something like a wisdom or a school or something like that, isn't it?
Well, they are in there, but I'm looking for the most descriptive, I think. That some of them have three and four different names, but it comes from, and you know if it came off Amazon or the computer, it's right?
Yeah, right.
Must be.
Is it like Parliament or something?
Parliament. You got it.
Nice.
Yeah. Give her a bell.
Parliament
of Owls.
Okay.
Yes.
That's cool.
To go with the Congress of Monkeys.
Yes, and that's one. And there's also a cartload of monkeys.
Yeah, that's like a barrel.
And barrel was another one.
I don't think that's official.
Yeah. Let's see, I won't do too many of them, but I have to remember them first. A group of rhinoceri.
Is it like a horn or something like that?
No, a crash.
Oh,
all right.
One more. One more.
Let's see, a group of... but I'm going to save the best for last. A group of penguins.
I would go with either tuxedo or waddle.
Waddle.
You got both. Oh, my God.
Is that really?
They're right.
Y'all are some smart people. Because most people say a rookery. Well, that's kind of mundane. A group of snakes.
Slither?
No. Though it may be, but that's not one I found.
I don't know.
And these all come from either literary or publications. A nest is, of course, one of the most common, and the other is a knot of snakes.
Yeah, that is fair.
Which sounds disgusting, but let's see. Lordy!
All right, one more because then we have a lot of other callers. Who are
I understand you're getting piled up there as you always are, but and usually I call the last 10 minutes because I can't think of anything. Let's see. Oh, my very favorite is a group of flamingos.
A leg,
a lawn.
not quite. It's very descriptive. And if you think of flamingos, you'd get it.
A stand.
No.
Kneecap. A backwards kneecap of flamingos.
You want it?
Yeah.
It's a flamboyance.
Oh.
Yeah, all right.
I'll buy it.
I like the alliteration.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for being so patient with me.
No problem.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. Okay, you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Our panel tonight, technical editor Akira Pace from Diablo Valley College, teacher Lori Fisher. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. All right, let me give you a couple of facts or questions, I guess. All right. So I ran across a few things this week. What is the only state where chickens outnumber people 200 to 1?
Hawaii.
No.
Nuh-uh. Have you been to Kauai? It's Hawaii. I don't even care what your answer is. It is. It is.
I'm not saying that chickens don't outnumber people there. I'm just saying that's...
Oh, where's Purdue? Is that Indiana or Illinois? Indiana.
No. So what is the only state where chickens outnumber people 200 to 1?
200 to 1.
And my last guess is Tennessee, because I think there's another. I think that's where Tyson is.
No. So once more, what is the only U.S. state where chickens outnumber people 200 to 1? I'm going to give you some names. Strangely enough, there are still a reasonable amount of newspapers in smaller towns available in California on a daily basis. So I'm going to give you the names of some newspapers. These are all California papers. I want you to tell me the town in which they are published. They are daily papers in what towns in California? Now, of course, if Jerry and Leah were still here, they'd be all over this.
They would. Yeah. How many are we getting?
Five.
Great.
So again, these are daily California newspapers. Tell me what town they are published in. So number one, the Press Enterprise. Number two, the Daily Breeze. Number three, the Times Standard. Number four, the Appeal Democrat.
The Appeal Democrat?
Uh-huh. Yeah. And number five, the News Sentinel.
Okay, real quick, what is a newspaper?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm afraid the reaction to this question is going to be.
Turn off her microphone.
So, again, these are daily newspapers that still are published in smaller cities in California. I want you to tell me the city involved. Number one, the Press Enterprise. Number two, the Daily Breeze. Number three, the Times Standard. Number four, the Appeal Democrat. And number five, the News Sentinel.
Is the Press Enterprise Santa Rosa?
It is not.
Oh, that's the one I thought.
I think that's the Press Democrat.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
The Appeal Democrat, that's a wild title for a newspaper. Yeah. I love that. Yeah, that one I don't know.
What about Daily Breeze? Is it something like maybe Santa Barbara?
You're not that far away geographically, but it's not Santa Barbara.
Okay.
So, again, just once more, these are California daily newspapers. Tell me what town they are published in. Number one, the Press Enterprise. Number two, the Daily Breeze. Number three, the Times Standard. Number four, the Appeal Democrat. Number five, the New Sentinel. And what is the only U.S. state where chickens outnumber the people there 200 to 1?
What about San Luis Obispo for Breeze?
No.
Okay.
Just out of curiosity, do these papers print a daily paper?
They do.
Wow. That's very impressive.
Yeah. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Good.
Add to the listing of the last caller, let's say group of monkeys or baboons.
That's a Congress.
Very good. Now, that explains it very good. That explains the mess we have in Washington, D.C. I don't know who invented that word, but it's funny. Okay, I'll give you three ancient names for countries and tell me what is their modern name. One is Carthage.
What is it again?
Carthage.
Oh, Carthage.
Yeah,
that's Tunisia.
Yeah. Tunisia. How about Anatolia?
That's Turkey.
Turkey. How about Kemet?
Kemet?
Egypt.
Egypt. Very good. That brings a show that Nova had this week about cats. It was a very good show. 1 hour show about it. Guess what all of the cats we have today, everywhere, every country in the world, where do they come from?
My backyard.
No.
Egypt.
Egypt.
It's really amazing. They all evolved in Egypt and they migrated to every part of the world. Okay, great. One last question very quickly. What city used to have the name City of David? Of course, in the Middle East.
Is it in Egypt?
No.
Ah. Well, Jerusalem is the obvious.
Jerusalem it is.
Yeah, nice.
Jerusalem it is. Very good. Right. And what does the word Jerusalem mean? Again, distortion by the Greek translation. The real name for it is different.
Artichoke.
So I will tell you what the real name is. Dar es Salaam. Or Dar Salaam.
It's Sulam. Right, Sulam.
Yeah, okay, what does Dar mean? Very similar to English.
Dar. No.
Dar.
No.
Buddha O instead of A.
I'm sorry?
Buddha O instead of A in the Dar.
So door?
Door? The door?
Door. That's all what it is.
Oh.
Yeah, door. It means, you know, gate of peace. That was the name of it.
Oh, nice.
And beautiful, beautiful literature says this thing. And peace, it has not been, sadly to say. Thank you very much. Really good show.
Thank you, Ed.
Take care. Bye-bye.
And, Kira, it's your turn.
All right. I have a quickly written handout. There you go. So I am going to spell out the names of some British towns, and I just want you to give me the pronunciations of them. So I have seven, and I will spell them out. I'll give you each one. I'll give you each two. What the heck? And here they are. The first one is Gloucester. Again, Gloucester.
Gloucester.
Oh, all right, well, that's your one.
That was the only one I knew.
That's why I took it.
The next one is Sproxten. Again, it is Sproxten. The next one is Staithes. Again, that is Staithes. Next, Lympne. That's Lympne. P-N-E. Next one is A-U-C-H-L-I-N-L-E-C-K. Again, that is A-U-C-H-L-I-N-L-E-C-K. The second to last one is W-O-O-L-F-A-R-D-I-S-W-O-R-T-H-Y. Again, Wolfardiswoorthy. And finally, my very favorite, Featerstonehaugh. So it's like the word feather, like the word stone, and then haugh. Do you know any of these?
I knew Gloucester.
Gloucester. Has already taken.
I think I took Sproxton when I had that lower tract infection.
You did, yeah. Cleared it up right away.
Yeah, I know. And Auchinleck, or...
Yes, the one that looks like Auchinleck, which
right.
is not.
But there's an L in the middle, right? You said an L when you spelled
yes,
it out.
Yes, A-U-C-H.
Isn't there a Shakespeare character with that name in Henry V?
I could not tell you.
I don't think so.
But yes,
there is
a
C in it? Maybe there's a C in it.
Yeah.
Isn't there? There's a Shakespeare character with that name. Anyway...
I don't know what they could do with the second to last one, so I'll just try to say Wolfardiswoorthy.
Nope, it is not Wolfardiswoorthy. Okay. That's how it's spelled, but that is not a
I was just going, maybe you gave us one in which it was phonetic.
I will let you know that the answer is two syllables long.
Oh, that's excellent.
I might be able to figure out the last one.
In fact, none of these is more than two syllables long.
Even Featherstonehaugh, right?
Featherstonehaugh is only two syllables long.
Yeah, well, the English. I know there's a different. I know an English pronunciation.
Yeah,
for the
that
last
one shows up in Woodhouse.
Part of it, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let me work on that.
All right.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Michael from San Francisco.
Hi, Michael.
Hi. I have a question.
Yes.
But first, I want to take a guess at the chicken state question.
Yes.
Is that Arkansas?
It is not Arkansas.
Okay. All right, here's my question. It's a sports question and a geography question.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, there is a sport that is dominated, completely dominated by one country. And, in fact, right now, on the men's side, four out of the five top players are from this country. And on the women's side, it's exactly the same.
Is this an Olympic sport, may I ask?
I know the answer. I'm trying to decide whether I should answer it or not.
Okay. Sorry.
I don't want to answer that.
All right.
that means yes.
You have to name the sport and the country.
And it's a sport played, it sounds like, individually rather than a team sport?
That's correct.
Oh.
Well.
And here's some more trivia. Mm. In the top five players on both sides, there are two married couples.
Is it darts in Ireland?
No.
Okay.
That's a good guess. The first thing that came to mind, and it's probably wrong, is curling, but which is Canada.
But dominates that's team.
It. The first that is a team sport. Can't you play that individually, too?
I don't think so. Is this a sport in which people play also doubles?
Yes, people do play doubles.
The one that occurred to me was maybe badminton.
That's not the one I'm thinking of.
Okay.
I don't know how.
Well, I know.
Yeah. Oh, table tennis?
That's a good guess.
Oh, that's a great guess. That may fit that description, too, but not to my knowledge.
All right.
Okay. But they can play doubles.
Yeah, you can play singles and doubles.
Mm-hmm. And it's individual. And do people play this professionally?
Yes.
Professionally. How about esports? You know?
Ooh, that's a good guess.
Yeah. Video games.
Not the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah, I think
this is a physical sport.
Well, like esports aren't.
No, I know, but
people's thumbs, you ought to see their thumbs.
All right, maybe you should tell us whether it's played in the Olympics now or not.
It is not.
Okay.
Bowling.
Ooh, bowling.
Bowling?
Nope. Okay. No. Hmm.
So what have we got? What about Ultimate Frisbee?
It's not an individual sport. That's a team sport.
No, yeah, you're right.
Has it ever been played in the Olympics?
No. I'll give you a hint. It's tried like crazy to get into the Olympics, and it keeps narrowly missing.
Is it a winter sport? Like snowboarding type thing?
Well, that's an
Olympics. It's seasonless.
It's seasonless. Okay, that's good.
Not bocce ball.
How about skateboarding? No. Some form of skateboarding?
Oh,
or is that in the Olympics?
No.
That's in the Olympics.
No, it's not.
No.
It's not? You sure? Okay.
But the answer is no?
Well, it's not the one I'm thinking of.
Okay.
I guess for every sport you guess that I don't know, I'm unaware of, the answer is it's not the one I'm thinking of.
All right.
That's a great answer. Yeah.
I think you stumped us, basically.
All right. And this is a nod to Eid. It is squash, and it is Egypt.
Oh, squash.
Yeah.
Nice.
Uh-oh. He's dialing the phone right now.
But it's interesting that women dominate that sport, too, because I wouldn't think they'd be allowed to.
Yeah. Interesting.
They totally do.
Yeah, that's
good question.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
All right.
Bye.
And I thought it was in the Olympics, but apparently not.
Oh. And it's your turn, Lloyd.
All right. So my question. So you all remember, and by you all, I mean maybe the people in this room, Alan Sherman, the guy who was an advertising writer who became a singer of parodies. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you a couple examples, and then I'm going to ask you some questions. All of his parodies, not all of them, but many had a name in them, and they were parodies of other songs. So If I Were a Tish Man was If I Were a Rich Man. And Shine On Harvey Bloom was Shine On Harvest Moon. So I'm going to give you the six titles of songs and see if you can tell me the real song on which they're based. First one is Sarah Jackman. Second one is How Are Things with Uncle Morris. Third one is Al and Yetta. Fourth one is One for My Sadie. Number five is My Zelda. And number six is Harvey and Sheila. Some of them might be obvious. I'll say it one more time and give you like one and a half each. Yeah. Sarah Jackman, How Are Things with Uncle Morris, Al and Yetta, One for My Sadie, My Zelda, and Harvey and Sheila. And you might detect kind of a Jewish theme running through many of the songs, which there was. Anyway, what do you got?
Well, one is, of course, How Are Things in Guacamora.
That's the How Are Things with Uncle Morris. Absolutely correct.
Right. Is there like One for My Lady? One for My Sadie?
You're right on it. One for My Sadie is?
One for My Baby and One More for the Road.
And One More for the Road. Very good.
Right.
I'll give you one more between the two of you.
Frere Jacques is, must be number one.
Is which one? Sarah Jackman. Sarah Jackman is Frere Jacques. All right. So we still have Al and Yetta.
I think Al and Yetta would be awesome as Jack and Diane, but I can't imagine that's actually right.
I do not think he did a parody of John Cougar Mellencamp song.
Probably like long dead by now.
Yeah,
right?
I think that dates you as way too young of a person. Al and Yetta, My Zelda, and Harvey and Sheila. Those are the remaining three, and we'll leave them out for our audience.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, this is David in Berkeley.
Hi, David.
I have a couple of answers. I have one answer and a couple of questions that are follow-ups to your questions. Mm-hmm. I do remember that To Kill a Mockingbird was one of the New York Times' most checked out, the 10 most checked out.
Very good. That is on the
good
list.
Job.
Very nice.
Yeah. And so I wanted to add a question related to this. Of the top 10 most checked out books, the top two were children's books. And I wonder if you know what they are.
I'm going to recuse myself because I'm literally looking at the list that my list came from. So Dana and Kara can get it, though.
What about Goodnight Moon?
Goodnight Moon was an honorable mention after number 10 because the New York Times children's librarian was against that book and didn't release it into this collection for 25 years after it was published. So it was as if it had been, handicapped. So they put it in as an honorable mention, number 10B.
Great story.
Yeah. What else?
Sure.
One of them is real easy, I think, and the other one was a pleasant surprise.
Is Dr. Seuss one of them?
Yes.
And so it's, you know, The Cat in the Hat?
Yes, that was number two.
All right.
And the other was a pleasant surprise, you said?
Well, to me, you know, obviously it's not all the people that took it out.
Is there anything to do with gay parents?
No.
This is a 125-year list, so...
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I would have guessed The Very Hungry Caterpillar, but...
That was number 10, if I recall. This is from memory, so I'm not sure. But
Make Way for Ducklings.
Well, I wish. No.
Are you my mother?
Oh, no, I wasn't on it.
Well, what? Tell us what it is.
Number one was The Snowy Day by Andrew Jack Keith, which was the first picture book that had that featured a black child.
Oh, okay.
It's a wonderful book. Lastly, I liked your question about the Encyclopedia Britannica. Mm-hmm. And
enough to answer one about it?
Yeah, right.
I have no answer. I have a new question.
Okay.
Right. Who wrote in the 1965 edition, who was the author of the article about film production?
Yeah, that was
part of
Hitchcock.
Yes. Right. I like that. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
So
bye-bye.
Can I guess on the encyclopedia? Has enough time gone by?
Sure, I'll allow it.
How about Illinois? How about Adlai Stevenson?
Shonuff, who wrote his own entry in 1967.
Oh, good job.
Really?
Yes,
let people write their own?
Adlai Stevenson wrote the entry on Adlai Stevenson.
Wait a minute, he died in 1965, so it must have been before that.
Well, then he
it was like
well,
a New
he
York Times
it,
old bit.
Fine, but then they published it in 1967.
Right.
Though,
okay.
That 67 date is
Dana,
correct.
Who was the choreographer for people like Fred Astaire? I'm trying to think of this, 1936?
Oh, Hermes Pan.
Yeah.
Nope.
Okay.
Not quite well known. Well, out of show, but out of films, probably not well
Please
known.
Please keep in mind that I asked
dance.
You about Jonas Salk and one of the Wright brothers asking about the other one and Hoover for the FBI. So I think you're thinking too hard.
Right. Oh, okay.
But 19. Okay.
All right. Let me give you this question before it gets too late. So what I'd like you to do here is name the literary source for these fictional countries. Okay. So name the literary source, a book, preferably, for these fictional countries. Number one, San Lorenzo. Number two, Sarkhan. Is Sarkhan. Number three, the World State. Number four, Blufescu.
How do you spell that?
Blufescu. Number five, Florin, Florin. Number six, Genovia, which is Genovia. And number seven, Ruritania, which is Ruritania. So again, name the literary sources for these fictional countries. Number one, San Lorenzo. Number two, Sarkhan. Number three, the World State. Number four, Blufescu. Number five, Florin. Number six, Genovia. Number seven, Ruritania. Go ahead, I'll give you each one.
Are some of these plays?
No.
Okay, so they're all
they may have been adapted into a play at some point. But
they're all works of novels.
Yeah.
And they're, okay.
I can do one comfortably and two are in the edge of my brain.
I have none comfortably, so you have my guess too.
Florin is the Princess Bride.
That is correct.
Oh, nice.
Right.
Ruritania. That's like right, that's one of those 1984, is it 1984?
No.
Brave New World?
Nope. Not at all.
Oceania is one of those. I don't know where it's familiar.
It's very familiar. That and San Lorenzo are the most familiar.
They're all American or British, okay,
yeah.
By American or British authors, just so you know.
I feel confident in saying that I've never read whatever Sarkhan, The World State, and Blufescu came from.
That's your answer? That's your final
you
answer?
You may well have read the Blufescu one.
Yeah?
Well,
not
maybe
not. Familiar.
Seems familiar.
But Ruritania and San Lorenzo seem awfully familiar, and I feel real bad that I can't answer them.
San Lorenzo is the most current one. It's second half of the 20th century.
Oh, yes. Yes. 100 Years of Solitude?
No.
Ah.
That came up.
Love in the Time.
You had another question like this, and 100 Years of Solitude was on that one.
Was or it any Love in the Time of Cholera then?
No.
Okay.
No. Are any of them 18th century novels?
One is, yes. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. And while you're thinking about that, let's repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. Kira, you go first.
All right. The 14th edition of the Encyclopedia Britannica included several notable contributors. I'll give you the title of the encyclopedia entry. You tell me the name of the notable contributor. The ones we have left are penicillin and dance, colon, modern dancing. Also, I've spelled out the names of some British towns, and I just want you to call in with their pronunciations.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll just give them to you phonetically. The first is, it looks like Sproxton. The second is S-T-A-I-T-H-E-S. The third is L-Y-M-P-N-E. The fourth one, which looks like Auchinleck, is A-U-C-H-L-I-N-L-E-C-K. The fifth looks like Wolfard is Worthy. And the last looks like Featherstone, H-A-U-G-H.
Is modern dance George Balanchine?
Nope.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
All right. I'm looking for two more works that are in the top 10 of the most books checked out from the New York Public Library. We got 1984 and To Kill a Mockingbird. I'm looking for two more. And I'm looking for two more Alan Sherman parodies. And three more. Al and Yetta, My Zelda, and Harvey and Sheila. I'm trying not to give any lilt to my voice to give them away.
All right. And, excuse me, what is the U.S. state where chickens outnumber people 200 to 1? What U.S. state has chickens outnumbering people 200 to 1? I give you a list of California daily newspapers. I want you to tell me the, they're not small towns, but, you know, medium-sized towns and cities have these daily newspapers. The Press Enterprise, the Daily Breeze, the Times Standard, the Appeal Democrat, and the New Sentinel. Remember, they're all California cities or towns. And name the literary source for these fictional countries. What novel did they appear in? Number one, San Lorenzo. Number two, Sarkhan. Number three, The World State. Number four, Blufescu. Number five, Genovia. And number six, Ruritania.
Is that Pale Fire?
Pale Fire for what?
Ruritania?
No.
Okay.
Is Gulliver's Travels Blufescu?
Yes.
All right.
Thank your lucky stars, your lovely wife. Help you with that.
Oh, I was going to credit our studio audience.
Yes.
I shouldn't have doubted
Blufescu is
our studio
indeed
audience.
Gulliver's Travels. Very good. And the two numbers to join us, area code 415-841-4134. Or toll-free 866-798-8255. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Ed in Massachusetts.
Hi, Ed.
And anything I once knew has all gone by the wayside, I think. And there wasn't an awful lot of it tonight. Let me see. Oh, you got Illinois. I was going to guess Sandberg, and I would have been wrong. The others I don't know. A wild guess on the chicken state, Maryland.
It's not Maryland.
Okay, I just know that they've got some poultry factories around there, so I thought I'd guess it. The checked out fiction books, Great Gatsby.
No.
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 And 2001 Space Odyssey.
That's not it either. Two good
guesses. Okay, something in one of your hints sounded like it was going that way.
Yeah,
but okay.
I'm keeping my hint. It was next door to Brave New World. That was my hint.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it still's there.
And then the only one that I know is the fictional countries, but I know it because of the movie, not the book. I'll fess up. Genovia is from The Princess Diaries.
That's correct.
Yeah. Yes.
Ah.
And I would have gotten
one of Kira's favorites,
also,
by the way.
I've never seen it.
Princess Bride, Princess Diaries.
I would have gotten Princess Bride also from the movie, not the book.
Right.
Just full disclosure. All right, well, that's all I've got for tonight. And then I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
I found a list this week of largest cities that have the same starting letter as their state name.
Say it again?
So,
largest cities that have the same
of all 50,
starting
all
letters.
50 states.
Right.
So, for example, Alaska starts with an A. What's the largest city in Alaska that starts with A?
Anchorage.
And Colorado starts with C. What's the largest city in Colorado starts with C? So I'm not going to give you the whole 50, obviously.
Thank you.
Anchorage was a simple one. Four of them happen to be where the largest city is also the capital city, which also starts with the same letter of the state.
Indianapolis, Indiana.
Oklahoma City, Oklahoma.
Dover, Delaware.
Okay. One more.
Honolulu, Hawaii.
Nice.
Good.
Hawaii.
Nice.
That's actually an old, I got that off of Jeopardy final pretty years ago, and I love that question. So I have a couple states that I picked out of the list for you that are fairly straightforward, except for California, which isn't, I think straightforward, but you guys are in California, so I'm going to hit you with it anyway. So, first of all, Florida.
What's the question? The largest city in Florida?
Starts with an F?
The largest city in Florida that starts with an F.
Oh, that starts with an F.
Oh, maybe Fort Lauderdale?
Fort Lauderdale.
Nice. Good.
What's the largest city in New Jersey that starts with an N?
Newark.
Yeah.
In South Dakota that starts with an S?
Sioux Falls.
Sioux Falls.
Sioux Falls.
Yeah.
And the last one I'll give you is California that starts with a C.
Is it in Northern California?
Is it Concord, maybe?
I was thinking.
I don't know my California geography enough to answer
that. Say
that
again.
Concord?
No, it's not Concord.
Let's see.
Oh, Culver City?
No.
I don't think so. What is the population?
Like I said, I didn't think this was fairly straightforward, but you guys are in California, and most of your listeners are, so I thought it'd be a fair question.
That's fair.
I didn't write down the population.
Okay. I think it's in Southern California.
Clovis?
Not Clovis.
Chico?
Chico.
Not Chico.
Zeppo? Okay.
No, you better tell us where it is.
You want me to tell you? Yeah. You want to see if anybody calls in with it?
Well, we've only got about 12 minutes, so.
Oh, okay. Chula Vista.
Oh, okay.
That makes sense.
Okay.
Good question.
That's it for me tonight.
All right. Thanks, Ed.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Who has a short question?
I do.
Well, she's first, so go ahead.
What Bay Area city is named for the patron saint of laundry, eye disease, and television?
All the same patron saint.
What Bay Area city is named for the patron saint of laundry, eye disease, and television?
There is no such patron saint.
There is a patron saint of television because I seem to have seen a mention of that at some point.
I bet you have.
I bet you've prayed to him or her.
Patron saint of television.
Yes.
So
there's a patron saint
Bay Area
of
city.
Bay Area city, laundry, eye disease, and television.
Such a good combination.
Right.
Okay.
I'll go with Alameda just because one of us lives there.
No.
Okay.
No. But there's no saint in the title of the city.
There is.
Oh, there is.
Mm-hmm.
Saint Helena.
No.
Saint Jose.
Nope, not Saint Jose.
That's not San Francisco.
It's not San Francisco. So the
Bay Area city is named for San Jose.
It's still not San Mateo. Not San Mateo.
Wow. Huh. San Lorenzo.
Nope.
San Leandro.
Nope.
Going with all my East Bay Sands.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
All right.
Think about that. Mm-hmm. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Are Matter.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Great. No better way to spend our Sunday night than with you. I've got a couple guesses here, kind of walk around my life. One is the Daily Breeze. When I was living in Southern California, I lived in San Diego, but dated a girl up north in Los Angeles, and she lived in Redondo. Daily Breeze is in the Redondo Beach, Southern California area, right?
It is in Southern California, but it's not Redondo Beach, but it's close by Redondo Beach. It's
El Segundo area, something like that.
Yeah, that's also, I'll just put everybody out of their misery. It's from Torrance.
Yeah. Torrance?
Yeah.
Okay. All in the family there. And the second one, again, a walk in the family, brother-in-law who's a chicken farmer, a homestater from this place as well, I'm going to guess the 200-1 Chicken State is home of Fighting Blue Hens, the Ass Kicking Chickens, the first state, the Diamond State, Delaware.
That is very correct.
No.
Delaware.
All right.
Great introduction to Delaware, by the way. That was excellent.
Hey, guys. I'll tell you what. It's a great place to be from. I got a question.
Yes.
I've got a quick question for you. Two brilliant brothers. Both went to Harvard. Both born in the 19th century. Died in the 20th. One a psychologist. One a novelist. One wrote The Varieties of Religious Experience.
The James brothers. Oops, sorry.
You got it. Yeah. That's it.
Henry and William.
Because, Dana, that's it. I knew you'd be so good on this. I would just ask
you. No, Lauren got it.
Wait a minute.
Oh, Lauren, I'm sorry.
I know you think all the right answers come from me, but
I do, Dana.
Occasionally.
Well, I know.
People do not have to kiss up to the host to get on the air, by the way.
That's right.
No way, no way. And the one other question would be to name one novel from each of them or book from either one of them. But just fantastic, guys. And I'm not going to hold on. You guys don't have to do that. But great show tonight.
We'll thank you. Talk to you. Thank you very much.
Take care, guys.
All right. You too.
You know.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Tom in Southern California.
Hey, Tom.
Hi, is the Bay Area City, Kara, is that San Anselmo?
Nope.
No.
It is not.
Okay. We're running out of sands.
Good guess.
Yeah, I know.
They should move along then.
Santa Rosa.
To the Santas, but
Santa
no,
Rosa?
It's
no.
Not Santa
right.
Rosa.
Santa Clara?
It is Santa Clara.
Really, oh. Clara?
Santa Clara is the patron saint of goldsmiths and needleworkers and good weather as well.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm.
Double dipping.
Applause for guessing. let's see. How about for the public library books? How about Lord of the Flies?
Nope, that's not one.
That
of
is
them.
A very good
really
guess.
Good guess in the right genre.
Or The Handmaid's Tale?
Not The Handmaid's Tale either.
Also a good guess. Mm.
Okay. Red Badge of Courage?
Nope.
The Stranger?
Not The Stranger.
A Tree Grows in Brooklyn?
It does, but that's not one of the books.
Okay. Newspaper. I know the Press Enterprise is in Riverside.
That is correct. Very good.
Yay. Then I'll guess the Times Standard Bakersfield?
No.
No? Okay. The San Lorenzo, that's Cat's Cradle, I believe.
That is correct. Mm-hmm. Yes, San Lorenzo is in Cat's Cradle.
Oh,
by
that hurts. That hurts.
Yes. And Sarkhan, is that Pale Fire?
That is not.
Okay. Are any of them Pale Fire?
None of them are Pale Fire.
Kira planted a seed.
Yeah, she did. Okay. World State, I'll guess Utopia by Thomas More. But
no, that's Utopia is Utopia.
Yeah. So. All right, put me in my place. I'll take some guesses on the city pronunciations.
Please.
How about Stroughton?
All of them.
No, none of
yeah.
them. None of them is no. Sproton. You're very okay. close, actually, but no.
Stap for states? For STAITHES?
No.
Is Stap? No, okay.
No.
Limb?
That one's correct. LYMPNE spells limb, of course.
How about uplink?
Very close, but no. Too many N sounds.
Auchinleck?
Yes, Auchinleck. Yep. A-U-C-H-I-N-L, I'm sorry, L-I-N-L-E-C-K is Auchinleck.
Okay, and Woolsworth?
No, not Woolsworth.
Just Woolsworth, okay. And, I don't know, Fedstone?
Nope. Nope, but you got two, so good on you.
Yay, thanks. And in that area, what's the, so how do you pronounce the capital of South Dakota?
Pier, yeah.
Pier.
Here, yeah, okay,
yeah,
and then
like one syllable.
What about the town in Nevada where Pat Nixon was born?
Oh, is that Ely?
Ely, yeah, very good. Okay, and then the question from last week, which nobody wanted to answer because that wasn't. But Kara, you weren't there, so you know the Dead Milkmen.
Yeah, what about them?
What Nobel Prize-winning author is the band's name taken from?
Oh. That's a good question. I have no idea. Dead Milkman, Nobel Prize winning author.
No.
I don't have my list of Nobel Prize winners because I'm the worst.
Is it
the Nobel Prize, not Pulitzer Prize, Nobel Prize?
I think Pulitzer Prize as well.
Like
Under
I'm
Milkwood?
Pretty sure.
Yeah, that's what I was
an
thinking.
American
or the
author.
Milk Train doesn't stop here anymore.
Is it
or
related to Under Milkwood?
No.
Is it something
American author?
Is it something Faulkner or Steinbeck?
No, later.
Later.
Dead Milkman. No.
Bob Dylan.
No, it's Toni Morrison from Song of Solomon. The main character's name is Milk. His nickname, Milkman Dead.
Really?
Yeah.
I can't believe anything came from...
interview with the...
you should know.
An interview with the... with the band, the band leader said they came from that. So,
yeah. Right. And then they wrote the song Stuart. So. Yeah,
right. Of course.
Yeah, along with Bitchin' Camaro.
Right?
Awesome. All right.
All right. Thank
Great
you.
Great show as always. Adios. Bye.
Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Chris in Pacifica.
Hi, Chris.
I have an answer for the question about daily hometown newspapers.
Yes.
The Daily Breeze is published in Torrance.
That
and
very good.
I should know since I used to sling it door-to-door.
Oh, there you
that's
go.
Cool.
Sibling. My misspent youth.
That's all right. I delivered the Oakland Tribune, so there.
Okay.
It's great.
You're
tradition.
Probably responsible yeah. for its failure, actually.
Yeah, I probably am.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, is this me?
Yes, it's you.
Oh, turn it down. Okay, hey, this is Dana Jerry in Mesquite.
Hey,
excellent.
Okay, the Ideal Democrat is from Marysville, California.
Oh, very true. Very good.
My dad worked there in 1950.
Oh, that's excellent. Great.
And we have pictures of him taking me to work with him and putting me in the file cabinet drawer.
The appeal cabinet, Democrat cabinet drawer.
Under
excellent.
What?
Yeah. And then in 1963, he moved to the Sacramento Bee for about another 15 years.
Yeah.
And next week, he'll be 90 years old.
Happy birthday to
Happy
him.
Birthday.
Yeah, he lives in Davis. Okay.
Thank you
that's
so much.
Good. I finally got on. That's a sweet deal.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay, I guess we better clean up here. What do we got?
Real quick, is Sarkhan Dune?
It is not.
In his world state, 1984?
No.
Okay. In that case, penicillin was written by Sir
Fleming?
Alexander Fleming. And if you want to learn how to dance, where do you
Bruce
go?
Bruce Cunningham.
No. You go to Arthur Murray School.
Oh.
All right.
Oh, taught me dancing in a hurry.
There you go. Yes.
Did he?
That's the song.
I remember.
Sproxten is pronounced Sprosen. Staithes is Stias.
Ooh.
Woolfard is worthy is actually Woolsey. And finally, my very favorite, Featherstone Haw is actually Fanshawe. So there you go.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Wow. Well, the Alan Sherman songs, as you might know, Alan Yetta was Alouetta. Hmm. My Zelda was Matilda for the Harry Belafonte. And Harvey and Sheila, my favorite, was Hava Nagila. Hmm. And the two books we didn't get that were checked out most in the New York Public Library were Fahrenheit 451 and Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone.
That's a logical one. All right. The Daily Newspapers, California. Nobody gone. The Times Standard, Eureka, California. The New Sentinel is Lodi, California. The literary source for these fictional countries, Sarkhan is the Ugly American. Oh. The world state is Brave New World. And Ruritania is the Prisoner of Zenda.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's it. If we didn't get your call, I do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. My thanks to our panel tonight. That would be Kira Pace, technical editor, Lori Fisher, teacher at Diablo Valley College. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. My thanks to David Latulipe and Steve Wilcott for handling the board and phones. And, of course, our great thanks to you out there for taking the time to tune in and call in. And we do hope you will join us every Sunday at 7 p.m. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.
If it ain't day, it's night. If you ain't sure, you might. It's gotta be this or that. If it ain't dry, it's wet. If you ain't got, you get. If it ain't gross.